You are listening to the Fandom Podcast. Let your geek flag fly. New episodes Mondays on fandompodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Chris Hardwick's Fun Comfortable Tour, coming to Kingsbury Hall in Salt Lake City on November 6th. Get more information at fandompodcast.com/funcomfortable. Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, the show that is not about comics, not about movies, and not even about Doctor Who, Supernatural, or Firefly. We are a show about all of that and much more. I am Brandon Ushio, and joining me from Christmas Town is Jordan Caldwell.
I'm trying to find my way to Halloween Town, but all these retail stores have their calendars on the wrong month.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, that's the thing. Next thing you know, it's going to be Independence Day and Christmas will be out there. We're going to forget about all of the holidays in between. I really enjoy this new neighborhood that I moved into. There are quite a bit of Halloween decorations. I'm pretty excited about that. Being October, it's perfectly the right time of year for that. So we're going to talk quite a bit about our favorite Halloween movies coming up here soon. But before that, we're going to jump into the news. So first on the news is the Star Wars Battlefront beta. Star Wars Battlefront is a first-person shooter with quite a bit of different game modes on there, and they have a free beta out this weekend, and it was supposed to end on Sunday, October 11th, but they have extended it to October 13th. So if you want to play it, go ahead and download it. It's available for all the major consoles and PCs. You download it, and you get a Stormtroopers versus Rebels, or there's a mode that you have to take on the AT-AT assaults, and it's a lot of fun. The one thing that I'm noticing over this weekend, though, because I haven't had a whole ton of time to play it, I've played it a little bit on my Xbox One. I haven't really found any bugs, but the one thing I found is that the people who've been playing it all weekend, all of a sudden they have their jump jet packs and they have all sorts of upgrades that I don't have. This weekend, when I first downloaded and started playing it, I was doing pretty good. But then just on Saturday evening, I sat down to play it, and all of a sudden, everybody was flying around, and I could not capture a pod at all to save my life. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, so if you have a next-gen console, go ahead and download the beta. Give it a shot. If you are on Xbox, feel free to friend me. My gamer tag is Overgrown Asian. Add me as a friend, and maybe we can play a couple rounds of pod capture, or I'm not sure if I'm ready for the Walker Assault yet. You know, it makes a lot of sense to be playing a Star Wars game right now, since we have 67 days, 3 hours, 15 minutes, and 10 seconds as of recording till Star Wars Episode 7 comes out. So that's the Star Wars news. Just a little bit of a countdown going on. Jordan, why don't you tell us about it being October is some great time for some Halloween-type TV shows.
Yeah, my favorite time of year is all the full-season shows are premiering, as well as the fall shows. And with the fall shows comes American Horror Story in its fifth season now. Of course, each season is its own mini-series, is Hotel. And based off the first episode, this is not for the weary. This is definitely some past PG-13 content that even if you're a fan of some of the previous seasons, if you're kind of on the edge with how disturbing some of the things have been in the past or how graphic, the way it's looking is this season might not be for you. To put into a little bit of perspective, so I have friends that come over every Wednesday and we all watch it. And my roommate doesn't watch it, but there's just a couple parts I wanted to show him. And his immediate reaction was, yeah, I'm going to stay in my room when you guys watch this. So this season, definitely not for the faint of heart, but for the hardcore fans that really love how much it pushes the boundaries, the different directions they take, some of the stuff they did in the first episode, if you haven't seen it yet, is definitely pushing the limits. And I'm really excited with how they've set it up. Hopefully the narrative will be a lot better than Freak Show from last season. Definitely an exciting time. Brandon, I know you're not a big American Horror Story fan, and I'm not a big Walking Dead fan, so how about you tell us about the Walking Dead season premiere?
So the Walking Dead season premiere is actually going on right now as we're recording. Sunday, October 11th, and it's the sneak peeks that people got, like at New York Comic Con and such. People are excited about this. We'll see. They're diverting from the comic storyline again in several ways, but it sounds like they're going to have a lot of the same key factors in there. I hope it's good because it seems like the past two, so seasons 4 and seasons 5 seem to build one on another and build up the tension just a little bit. And I hope season 6 continues to go up. If it goes down, I don't know. I will see how I feel about watching it. It's one of those shows that I enjoy to watch, but it's not one that is an appointment viewing for me. So I might binge the first 3 episodes together. I still need to make it through Fear the Walking Dead. I made it through about 15 minutes of that pilot before I had to go about and doing other stuff. Also, I feel that pilot started out really slowly. So hopefully they're able to keep things up. But I've got my comic book if that's nothing else. So, you know, we've got American Horror Story, which sounds like I was thinking, well, maybe I can try a little bit. Maybe not this season. And we got Walking Dead. The other big October premiere, aside from the comic book ones that we talked about last week, is Supernatural. So I am now 2 seasons behind, it seems, Jordan. What, you want to talk to us about that premiere?
Yeah, Supernatural season 10, a big landmark for the show. We've talked about in the past, anytime we've brought up Supernatural, how big of a milestone reaching 10 seasons is. I don't want to go too much into it for those that haven't watched season 9. But from the very beginning, it picks up and it's kind of, you get a feeling of the same old, and especially in terms of the relationship, but they even call it out. So Sam explicitly says there's a scene in which he talks to Dean and basically says, if things are going to change, like, we're the ones that have to change. Forget about the monsters. Forget about what's going on in the world. We're the ones that have to change. We have to change our dynamic. We have to change how we do business. So it will be interesting to see moving forward if they really do change that dynamic or if they just fall back into the same old relationship. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but I think what might be interesting with this dynamic is in the past, it seems like you always have one brother or the other that kind of has, you know, walking the line with the darkness. You know, you had Dean, you know, working with demons and you had Sam working with demons. You had Dean become a demon. Though it seems like both of the brothers are kind of going to walk that line. So it will be interesting to see how they handle that, whether it's the lying and the secrets, whether they're open with it or whether they both just split their ways and go down into different paths of darkness. There's a lot of ways they can go with how they've set it up. So I'm definitely excited for this season. And I hope Brandon kind of dredged through that terrible 6 and 7 season, and season 8 starts to turn back up. And I think season 9 gets really good. So hopefully they'll build off of that momentum and season 10 will get the show back on track with what it used to be, or maybe with where it's going, this might be the beginning of the end. We'll see.
I hope that it's not the beginning of the end, because they introduced some things that seem like it would be really neat to go down those paths and figure it out. One of the things that I got so tired of was always the manufactured drama about the brothers who's mad at who this time and who thinks the other one's doing the wrong thing this time. It was just the same story with different monsters around it. So if you're saying that they're coming out and saying, well, if anything's going to change, it's going to be us, I'm intrigued by that, to say the least. And maybe I'll have to sit down and binge a couple seasons to catch up to where it's at. The next show that I wanted to talk about is actually not a Halloween show, but I just went out and saw it in the theaters and I absolutely loved it. And I wanted to give you guys a brief little overview of what it is. The Martian. This is probably one of the best science fiction films that I have seen in years. This film is based off of the book The Martian by Andy Weir. The book is one of my favorite books that I've read, and so I'm always nervous when somebody takes a book that I love and turns it into a movie, because it is so different, such a different medium. Because in the book, there's a lot of inner monologue going on, and it's hard to do that in film. but they really pulled it off. They had to leave out some things from the book because it was just so long. But one of the neat things about this was the guy who wrote the book was actually quite a nerd. And he went out and he figured out the distance from Earth to Mars and rotations and how many days it would take to get from here to here and how many minutes of satellite communication you would have. And he actually did the calculations. There's at one point where they talk about doing a slingshot maneuver, and he did the calculations for that to know exactly when the vessel would get to Earth or Mars, and it was a lot of fun. And if you guys remember the movie Apollo 13, and the scene where they say, where they've got, okay, they've got this on board, what can we do with this? And they figure out how to build a device and stuff like that and help them get connected up. This is basically taking that scene and stretching it into an entire movie of like, okay, we've got this stuff. How do we survive? Because it's about an astronaut who gets stranded on Mars. That's not really a spoiler because it happens like in the first chapter of the book and it happens in the first couple minutes of the show. So the astronaut who gets stranded on Mars and has to figure out a way to survive until he can get rescued. I really enjoyed it. It's got a lot of pop culture references from like the disco era. My mom went with me actually, and she's not really a big science person, but she loved the music. So the one thing that the movie did, I think it better than the book, was it made me care about people other than the Martian, than the main character. And so, I mean, in the book, Mark Watney's the main character. He's the one that you care about. But in the movie, there are some other characters around him that in the book, they're there, but you don't really feel anything about them. You don't really think about how they're feeling. But in the movie, they really do that. So I really enjoyed that. Would recommend it to anybody. I find it really interesting. The guy who wrote this book wrote it a chapter at a time, posted it for free on the internet. And it wasn't until people finally said, hey, we want to read this on our Kindle. Can you put it in the Amazon bookstore? And so he put it in there for like 99 cents or something like that. And he became a bestseller. And then all of a sudden, movie rights. And it's quite the story, both of how the book came to be and all the work that went into it. And then also the actual story of the book. So that's the news on The Martian. I really, 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 really encourage everybody out there to go see it. I'll probably go see it again. And if you guys want me to go into a little bit more in-depth of what I thought about the movie, just let us know. Send us a message on Facebook, on Twitter, send us an email, leave a comment on the post, and maybe I can sit down and record a short little my thoughts about the show. So moving on from the news, we have a new sponsor, and this episode is brought to you by that sponsor, Chris Hardwick's Fun Comfortable Tour, coming to Kingsbury Hall in Salt Lake City on November 6th. If you guys don't know who Chris Hardwick is, you're really missing out. So a little blurb from his promotional material for the Fun Comfortable Tour says that he is a comedian and the host of At Midnight. Chris Hardwick was born on the Starship Enterprise and is the product of two red shirts that quickly met their demise in a transporter lovemaking mishap. He was banished by the Federation to Earth after inappropriate conduct on the holodeck with a computer-generated Buffy Summers. Since then, Chris has become a professional stand-up and self-proclaimed nerd. He is a writer for Wired Magazine and is the face of AMC's first live after-show Talking Dead, which airs as a platform to discuss the network's highly rated show The Walking Dead. Tickets are $35 each, and you can purchase them online or by phone from Kingsbury Hall, and there aren't many left. So if you want to get them, make sure to go pick them up now. We have links for everything on fandompodcast.com/funcomfortable. Now, if $35 is something a little steep for you, I want to let you know that we have actually worked out a deal with Chris Hardwick's people to get you a pair of tickets. And all that you have to do is go to the share on this episode that we're going to post on Facebook and Twitter and share it, retweet it, and then head over to fandompodcast.com/funcomfortable, fill out the little form at the bottom of it. Tell us why you think that you deserve the tickets. We'll then notify the winners after we record our November 2nd episode. And the more you share, the more chances you have to win. So head over to Facebook, share those episodes. Make sure to share the post from our actual page, facebook.com/fandompodcast.
For any of you guys who haven't watched this stuff, I mean, At Midnight is a hilarious show. It's just a quick little format internet show, and they have various comedians and actors and actresses. Will Wheaton has been on there. Felicia Day has been on there. And Chris Hardwick is just one of those ultimate nerds that is just like any of us, but has been lucky enough with his career to be successful and do something that he loves. So even outside of the Fun Comfortable tour, he's definitely someone worth checking out.
All right. Being that it is October, next week we have our book club for the Hunger Games. So if you want to follow along with us and get that first book, feel free to go over to fandompodcast.com/audible, sign up for a free trial to Audible, and get the first book in the Hunger Games trilogy absolutely free on us. You'll be able to follow along right with us as we talk about that. And then the week after that, we are going to be talking about Back to the Future, since Marty McFly goes back on both October 21st and October 26th. We'll be talking about Back to the Future then. So this week, we wanted to talk about our favorite Halloween movies. And anybody who's been listening to this podcast for a while knows that Jordan is like the king of all things scary. You know, he mentioned that he loves, absolutely loves American Horror Story and Supernatural. Halloween and October in general is usually a pretty big production in their house. So he's going to have some great scary things, I'm sure. Me, not so much. I like Halloween. I like the costumes. I like going out and taking my kids trick-or-treating. Not so much into the scary. So we're going to have a couple very different picks, I'm sure, for our favorite Halloween movies. But Jordan, why don't you lead us off here? I'm sure you've got a lot more than me.
Yeah, I think I might surprise you with my first one. Probably my absolute favorite comedy of all time, possibly my favorite movie of all time, Young Frankenstein. And like you mentioned, I love the horror. I love the gore. I love the creepiness that comes along with Halloween. But even for a full month, as much as I love it, you still have to have those breaks in there. And Young Frankenstein is just such a perfect film. Mel Brooks, one of the masters of spoofing comedy, he creates this story that's, you know, a twist on one of our classic monster stories. And even still to this time, I don't know how many hundreds of times I've watched it, I still find something new. And there's so many layers to this comedy. And it's just the perfect little change up to give you that comedy, to give you that little twist, a break from all the tension, a break from all the creepiness. And you just have a fun Halloween themed story that is good for laughs upon laughs upon laughs. That anytime you're doing a movie list like we do, we usually do whether it's movie marathons or we do every night, we watch a different Halloween movie. Yeah, you got to have it on your list.
Yeah, that one is definitely one that is worth seeing. It is not too far out there. You know, you're pretty safe when you see Mel Brooks' name attached. Now, in Young Frankenstein, the lead in Young Frankenstein is Gene Wilder. And, you know, if you were trying to remember who that is, think about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not the new one with Johnny Depp, but the original one. So if you love Gene Wilder in that, then Young Frankenstein is right up your alley. It's actually one of the ones that I had on my list. I really thought that I was going to get away this entire draft without losing any to Jordan, or not draft, but these picks. But of course, Jordan on his very first pick has to go through and just take the one that I was going for. So, all right. So then I am going to jump into another one. This one is probably even more scary than Young Frankenstein. This one. It's not a good movie, but it's one of those movies. Nostalgia really, really kind of messes with your memories a little bit. This is one that I saw when I was younger, and I thought it was pretty cool. And then they based an entire TV series off of it. But before Sarah Michelle Gellar stepped in as Buffy, there was an actress named Christy Swanson. She was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She played a little bit more Valley Girl, but she got to go out and slay vampires. Just kind of a fun, with a slight twist of horror in it, with some Dracula going on. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that would be my second pick, but it's going to be my first pick here on this one. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer, just, it's kind of campy, it's kind of weird, but you know, it's October. If there's a time to watch that show, which I'm not sure that there's ever a time to watch that show, but if you're going to watch it, October is probably your time to do it.
Yeah, well, you brought up nostalgia. So before I get into my creepy crawlies and scaries, you can't talk about this stuff without Hocus Pocus. I mean, and I don't even think it's just my generation. Older, little, younger, Everyone has seen Hocus Pocus. Everyone loves Hocus Pocus. If they say they don't, they're lying. Cool, but they don't realize it's cool to like Hocus Pocus. I don't know if there's ever been a year that I haven't watched this movie. It's, you know, prior generations have Charlie Brown and his pumpkin patch. Who knows what younger generations will have? There's a good couple generations that are close coming out in 93. You have the 80s kids and the 90s kids all lumped together. The Hocus Pocus is a staple of our childhood. I'm sure most all of us will make it a staple of our children's childhoods. And I mean, who doesn't love a talking cat and witches and an annoying little sister and a love story? And if you have a friend named Zachary, go ahead and just start calling him Zachary Binks. It's too good not to permeate all of our childhoods. And I know there's a lot from that era, but Hocus Pocus is the standard. Hocus Pocus is the elite. Hocus Pocus is the one that will always live forever. Every October, it's got to be on your movie list.
You know, so that was another one that I was going to pick out there, but Jordan's done it to me again. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what routes I go to avoid this. Jordan does it to me again. Anyway, moving on from nostalgia, I am going to recommend one that is usually not associated necessarily with Halloween, but somehow every October I watch this, and it's something that I think I'm going to start up with my kids. It's kind of a scary light, kind of a way to introduce them to some of the more supernatural things. And what I'm going to introduce them to this with is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And you might, I can hear it now, you guys saying this is not a Halloween show, but you know what? It's got witches and wizards and goblins and magic, and they drink freaking pumpkin juice. So I'm going to call this a Halloween show, but it's just a fun one. There's not much to say about Harry Potter that either won't take an hour or can be said in 5 minutes. So you guys know Harry Potter, and even though it's not necessarily Halloween per se, I'm going to say that this one is going to be a Halloween pick. Do you think I'm cheating, Jordan? Is this a Jordan answer, not from Jordan?
No, I actually agree with this one, and I've had the times with my friends because it seems like every year around Christmas, they always play the Harry Potter movies. And I think part of it is, you know, those great Christmas scenes, especially with, you know, Harry and his friends having to stay at Hogwarts and a lot of stuff integral to the plot. He gets something as a present, whatever. But especially those earlier movies, I've always argued that they're more fitting to be played around Halloween.
All right. So take that, people who are yelling at me in your cars or listening to me in earbuds. We both agree with it. You lose. And if you don't think you lose, send us feedback. Tell me why I'm wrong, and direct all the feedback to Jordan@fandompodcast.com or at Overgrown Asian or the site. But, you know, if you want to tell Jordan why he's wrong in supporting me, I'll completely support that. All right, Jordan, move us on to our next one before I dig myself into a deeper hole.
Okay, getting down to the nitty gritty. Like I've talked about, the previous two movies are something that I've said everyone has to include on their movie list, whether it's a movie marathon or just ones you watch throughout October. This next one is something that we've made our own marathon because it's something that's so big for us, and that is Saw. Every year we have our Saw Fest. Wake up fairly early in the morning, watch 1 through 7 throughout the entire day. That I know a lot of people have mixed feelings on both ends of the spectrum. I know a lot of people that say it's too boring and too plot driven. I know some people that say it's too gory and tortury and they can't watch that dark stuff. But for my money, when you're talking about a series, and yeah, there's more well-known series, you know, Freddy, Jason, and they have, you know, over 10 movies each. But when you're talking about a cohesive series in terms of sequels, 1 through 7, all the way throughout, and it really changed the game and really brought horror back these past 10 years or so. And Lee Whannell and James Wan, with the movies they've done, have clearly shown their talent and shown that they're some of the tops in the biz. So it's always good to pay respects to some of their early work, and what better way to do it than a built-in marathon. I mean, you have your Lord of the Rings marathons, you have your Star Wars marathons. This is something for those horror fans that it's that perfect size, 1 through 7. You can fit it in a single day. Just make it all about Saw, and it's perfect for Halloween. One Saturday every October, it's Saw Fest Saturday.
Okay, I think that's too much for me. And, you know, Saw is turning into the new never-ending, or the new Land Before Time. Not necessarily with the music and the cute kid stuff, but the fact that there are 27 different episodes of it. But my next pick, and I think I might be stealing one of Jordan's at this point, is The Nightmare Before Christmas. Now, this is a show that is a claymation show that was done by Tim Burton. And I really don't usually like the Tim Burton stuff. It's just a little weird for me. But Nightmare Before Christmas, I don't know if it's because I saw it first when I was a kid, or if it was just such a great synopsis, such a great story there. But, you know, this synopsis is, and this is the reference that Jordan made in his opener, is that Jack Skellington, who's the Pumpkin King of Halloween Town, is bored with doing the same thing every year for Halloween. One day he stumbles into Christmas Town and is so taken with the idea of Christmas that he tries to get the resident bats, ghouls, and goblins of Halloween Town to help him put on Christmas instead of Halloween. But alas, they can't get it quite right. You know, this is the first film that I remember quite with this visual style. And, you know, there's the Frankenweenie and Coraline and stuff like that that Tim Burton has done since then. I don't know if he did Frankenweenie. Don't quote me on that one. But that visual style that they now do with all of these Halloween type shows, they're doing it on computer generated. It's not quite the same as this claymation that they did with The Nightmare Before Christmas. And so I think this was breaking new ground, and it was also it's also just really quite a good story. That's all there is to it. You know, so this, and they had marketing genius going on right now. So you can do The Nightmare Before Christmas at Christmas time and at Halloween time, which is kind of, I guess, kind of what they do with the Harry Potter shows, based off of what Jordan just said. So Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. Did I steal one of yours, Jordan?
It was on my list because, like so many of these, it has to be. But I'm actually glad you took that one, because I wanted to talk about another Tim Burton film for two reasons. Number one, I don't think it gets the credit it deserves. Like you were just talking about with the stop motion animation, I feel like this movie is really the only other one that's done it well to the level of success that Nightmare Before Christmas. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this and a lot of hate from my fellow Tim Burton fans. And he's done some pretty good movies, but in my opinion, this is the last really good movie that Tim Burton did. And that is The Corpse Bride. And so, like I said, that same stop motion animation, you have The Corpse Bride. But I think it brings back a little bit more of that fun to the darker side of Tim Burton, and it has that balance without being too dark, without being too campy and cheesy. I'm not even going to talk about Frankenweenie. You were correct that Tim Burton did it, but I wish you weren't correct, because it's sad that I'm probably just making so many Tim Burton fans mad right now. But a lot of the stuff he's done the last 10 years, in my opinion, has just not been up to his standards. But I like this movie because it doesn't necessarily go the way you would expect. And it's a little deeper than some of the kids' movies, but at the same time, not so deep that kids are wondering what the heck is going on. That it has a lot of fun music scenes and skeletons dancing, and he finds his dog and all of that stuff. And it's not quite that same cheesy happy ending that you have to have. It does still have a sense of a happy ending, and stuff does work out. It's not a sad movie by any means, but it's not your happy fairy tale, everything's perfect sort of ending. And so the depth with this movie, and like I said, the stop motion animation, and maybe part of it is I'm holding on to it because I feel like it's really the last great movie that Tim Burton did. But Corpse Bride, very underrated. If you haven't watched it, I definitely suggest it. If you have watched it, but only once, what is wrong with you? It's one that is fitting every October. It's worth watching. And that, along with Nightmare, I would say has to be on everyone's list.
You know, I don't know that I've ever watched that one, and it might be because I was so turned off by all of the other quote-unquote sellout Tim Burton shows, because honestly, I think a lot of those are just because he likes to make money, and people like to give him money, and so I was turned off by those, so hopefully Corpse Bride, I'll have to watch that this year. I think that's a good one. All right, let's see. So I'm going to go on one that I just watched with my kids the other night. And this one was a Monsters versus Aliens Spooky Stories. So this one is not necessarily, it's Halloween, and I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, essentially. They're almost 7, almost 4. It's in Spooky Stories Volume 2, and it is the one where the carrots, there are zombie carrots, and they go and they have to eat everyone, or they bite onto everyone, and they turn them into zombies as well. And it turns out that the only person who is not susceptible to these zombie carrots, because they take over your brain, is Bob, the big blob of goo. Okay, so I found the exact title. So much for not being prepared. Monsters versus Aliens, Night of the Living Carrots. So Night of the Living Carrots, it's only 13 minutes long. So if you have, okay, you can watch one show before bed, you can grab one of these in 13 minutes, there you go. So it's more of a sequel to another one they did. So in the previous one, there was a mutant pumpkins from space that came down and kind of wreaked havoc. So this one follows the cliffhanger of that one, where a mutated carrot is spawned, hundreds of zombie carrots. And so when they take a bite of their victim, they control the subject's mind. Dr. Cockroach determines that the only one who can defeat the carrots and free the victims is Bob, because once you eat the carrots, their victims become normal again. And Bob, to him, eating carrots is like the scariest thing in the world. So it's just kind of a fun little short where it plays on kids hating vegetables, and it plays on, you know, Night of the Living Carrots definitely plays on some of those themes, but it's only 13 minutes long. So now that I've taken that long explaining that, Jordan, why don't you wrap us up with start us on our last round of these favorites.
All right, so I've stuck to film, and like I said, they're all films that you should watch every October. Anytime you make a list, it has to be on there. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, like about American Horror Story a little bit more. All right, number one, it's such a great show because it really changed a lot of how we do television now. I mean, it was huge in bringing a lot of these horror shows to television. Now with, you know, doing a mini series every single season, and think about how many Netflix originals and mini series and things we've seen, that American Horror Story kind of started that and brought that to the forefront and showed that it can be successful. But in relation to Halloween, it's so amazing because it is something you can watch, and it's a TV that you can enjoy every year and you don't have to catch up on. Like I said earlier, every Wednesday we have people come over, and this year there's 2 or 3 people that have never watched it before, but it's not a situation of like, oh, well, you have to hurry and binge watch 4 seasons so you know what's going on. No, every year when it comes on, it's new, it's fresh. You can start from there if you don't want to watch the 4 seasons before that. If there's certain themes, like I said, some seasons are darker than others, but each one has its own theme. Coven is one of my favorites, that about a modern day witch coven, and kind of goes a little different from the others. It's not as dark. And so for a lot of people that are worried about the gore or the content, that's probably a better season for you to watch. But if you do like the kind of the creepiness of it, if you do kind of like that pushing the envelope on TV aspect that it gives you, you don't have to worry about the previous 4 seasons. You can jump in right away. You can watch the other seasons at will. You can pick out whether you want to watch Coven first or Asylum or Freak Show. And the thing that's nice is it's always fresh. It's always new. It's always something to get excited about. Like we've talked about Supernatural in its 10th season. I don't know, it's something Nate's talked about before. That just seems like it's too long for a show to go on. And Brandon, you've talked about, know, some of the themes, some of the storylines kind of seem to repeat themselves. You don't have to worry about that with American Horror Story. It's a new adventure every single year, something to get you excited about for Halloween as it starts in October. And if you want to watch some of those previous seasons, they're there on Netflix, and it's all around great fun. I understand some people are turned off of it because of some of the content. I stand by the show so much. If you're worried about that, you can send me a message here at FandomCast. You can send me a tweet, easy handle on Twitter. And for each season, I'll tell you, you know, which episodes to avoid, some of the content you can avoid and still get the same fulfillment from the story arc. It's just a great TV show all around, probably one of the best on TV right now. And it fits so perfectly with Halloween and to get everyone into that fun Halloween spirit.
Well, maybe there's some places for me to jump in onto that. So I don't know. I like to be creeped out, but only to a certain extent. And this American Horror Story might take it past there. But if you are into that, I definitely think that it's not a coincidence that this show comes out in October. This is a great show for October. All right. So my last pick, which I knew that nobody was going to pick because it's a really obscure reference, but I picked it simply because of the fandoms. So the TV show Castle, starring Nathan Fillion, is one of the more entertaining crime procedural shows that's out there. It's one of those shows that you don't really have to pay too much attention to. It's just kind of there. But Nathan Fillion, if you are a big geek like most of us are, he also starred in a little space western called Firefly. And the whole reason, so Vampire Weekend, it's about a vampire fetish murder investigation. And so, you know, and here's the thing. If people who were actually into vampire fetishes, and I'm sure they're out there, I'm sure they were offended by this episode because it was just kind of ridiculous. But it wasn't the vampire part of this Halloween episode that made me want to pick this one out. It was one scene where Richard Castle, who's played by Nathan Fillion, jumps out in front of his daughter, and he is wearing Mal's clothes, and he dressed up exactly like Mal. And his daughter says, "What exactly are you supposed to be?" And his response is, "A space cowboy." And his daughter says, "Okay, A, there are no cows in space, and B, didn't you wear that like 5 years ago?" And Castle's response was, "So?" And her response, "So don't you think it's time to move on?" And Castle's response was, "I like it." So I really like the throwback to Firefly there. And, you know, it's just kind of one of the more fun references that I've seen. And Castle, if you liked Firefly, you can watch Castle just simply for the Firefly references. There are props kind of hung up in the on the set. Nathan Fillion actually, as they were quote-unquote destroying the set, was taking stuff off the wall to take home. So, yeah, the costume was the exact same outfit that Mal wore in Firefly 5 years previously. So, all right, those are our Halloween shows. We had a lot of fun with this. I thought I was going to get away without having Jordan pick any of mine, but it turns out some Halloween shows are just classic. Hopefully that you guys will have some time this Halloween. We gave you enough time to watch these shows and enjoy them on Halloween, whether you've got little kids and you're going to watch Night of the Living Carrots, or you are a little bit more mature and not freaked out by stuff and you're going to watch American Horror Story. I think we got both ends of the spectrum covered there. Thanks for listening to the Fandom Podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fandompodcast.com. Leave a comment on the episode. Head over to Facebook, facebook.com/fandompodcast. Like us there. Remember about our ticket giveaway for Chris Hardwick. All you have to do is share the episode. And on Twitter, it's easy. You just retweet our tweet. On Facebook, you have to go back to our original page so that we can have a report that you did that. And you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to throw those rules out the window. If you guys want to like us, if you want to comment on the episode, if you want to share it, if you want to retweet it, however you want to do, just some way so that we can know that you did it, and then go over to fandompodcast.com/funcomfortable and fill that form out, then we'll pick you from there. You don't have to just share the episode. If you just want to like it, comment on it, however you want to do it. Our Twitter account is @FandomCast. Jordan is on Twitter at easy handle. It's a real easy handle, people. And I am on Twitter at overgrown Asian.